If you're an adventurer, there's one place that you absolutely have to shop.
There is, because there's this place called Modatomic, and they have the gas can hoodie, which when you put it on, it feels like a hug. And if you're a true adventure rider, you know that some days don't go as planned and you need a hug. But not only the gas can hoodie, Modatomic has other things too. Like what, Cappy?
Like beanies, cups, stickers, t-shirts, and probably my favorite dry bag.
That orange dry bag is badass.
It is. Modatomic.com. Link in the description.
So, Chappie, I got a confession to make.
Confess to me.
I've been talking to our buddy from B-Moto, Paco Pete. You know B-Moto, that shop that does really cool stuff like
off-road performance engines and suspensions. They even can Cerakote with ceramic finishes, so the outside is just as strong as the inside.
Which is awesome and brings me to my confession, Cody Proof Certification. Because Paco Pete told me they're going to take care of my engine and Cody Proof it.
That's something that not too many places can say.
No, definitely not. I would just suggest go over to bmoto.com and check it out. They've got some pictures of what they do.
Boutiche.com. Link in the description of the podcast.
Yes, because it's hard to spell, but they do good work.
You're listening to the Throttled Adventures Podcast. And now, your hosts, Cody and Chappie.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Throttled Adventures. Cody, how's it going?
It's going great, man. It's going great. Probably put 4,000 miles on motorcycles the last little bit. So I'm happy. And we also have an awesome guest today. So
we do. And I think everybody that listens to this podcast is going to be tickled, thrilled, because it's right up our alley. We have Derek Roberts, who is the social media manager for Ride BDR, and he's agreed to join us here and talk about some of his adventures.
How are you doing, Derek?
Yeah, well, guys, it's awesome to be here, and I got to talk about that intro music here first, because that's some Metallica-esque walk-up music. What's the inspiration? When are you guys playing that, or what?
Thank you.
Cody actually wrote and did that music himself.
That's like Ride the Lightning era stuff there,
oh,
Cody.
Dude, that's so awesome. So
that's what he wants to hear, I think. But I dug that. So that
just made my day.
Good. All right, man. Well, hey, this has been another episode of Two Wheels in the Tent, Throttle Adventures. Yes. Let's go, right?
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah. That's funny,
but hey,
man.
Stoked to be here, guys. This is I'm looking forward to learning more about both of you guys. I know a little bit about Cody from our offline adventures together, but yeah, looking forward to getting into it.
It's cool. There's 10 BDRs now, and there's another one coming. They say it's supposed to be next year. Does everything seem to be going well with the planning on the new BDR? Or?
Yeah, so the new one obviously is going to be Wyoming, if anybody is just kind of catching up to the game here. And we had to take a year off from COVID last year. So the last time we had a route was 2019. That was our 10th route, the Northeast. And now filming is in the books for the Wyoming route. And Sterling Noreen is hard at work putting together the latest film. And projections are we're probably going to see it late January or early February right now.
On a side note, I did try to get in on that filming. I tried to sneak myself in there. I didn't want to be on film. I just wanted to be on the route, but I understand.
Yeah, somewhere. We go, what's that? That's a weird looking antelope out there.
Look at that.
What's going on? He's got a microphone and everything. Yeah.
Look at that guy flipping his motorcycle upside down. What is he doing?
That's right. Yeah. No, you know, lots of people want to get involved on those, which is obviously understandable. But, you know, it's already and it just listen to the guys talk about it when they get back. You know, it's such a people don't realize, I think, what goes into that. And, you know, even I don't because I'm not out there. You know, they're just sending me pictures back for social media and that kind of stuff. And I'm asking them to get things that I can post in the future. But, you know, doing a full length, you know, if you're out there for, you know, 10 days trying to put together a documentary film. And I know Cody with his YouTube channel, he can tell you how difficult it can be. And then you think about trying to do a 90-minute film. And obviously Sterling's one of the best in the world at it.
Yeah.
Man, that's a real challenge, you know?
Yeah. And to be honest, I'm the last guy you want out there when you're trying to do something professional like that. Okay. So, but had to try for it.
So, like it just depends on the production, I would say.
Yeah. So you were saying
before this, the last one that they made was the New England.
Yeah, Northeast. That's right. Yep, the Northeast. Yeah, a lot of people like to call it the New England route. It's the Northeast.
Sorry.
And I still get to be on the receiving end of all the jokes of everybody thinking it's still hilarious to go, hey, there's no off-road riding in Nebraska. And I can assure everybody that that joke has been worn out.
Okay,
it's okay to retire it in 2021 here. And yeah, it's definitely the Northeast. And that's actually when I joined the BDR team, was just as we were approaching that release. So it's been about 2 years for me.
Well, nice. That one's special to this podcast. For what reason, Chappie?
It's in my backyard.
Ah, right. Where are you based at, Chappie?
I'm in
Chappie. Is that, or is that?
That's, yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. No, that's good. I'm actually in Pittsfield, Massachusetts, which is,
right on.
I mean, I'm a 3 minute ride to October Mountain.
Well, then you can attest, this has been, you know, obviously 2019, we released the route, but this has been kind of a record-breaking rain year for you guys out there.
Oh.
And man, I've been seeing some muddy pictures. People have been sharing those with us on social media. And it's like, that's some, hey, you know, it's already a gnarly route. It's that and the Southern California route are probably our two most difficult, two most technical routes. And you add on, you know, just days on end of rain like that, and you are really in for a treat.
Yeah, and the washouts.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I posted something up on the Facebook page not that long ago for people that might not want to get into really technical spots, because it was washed out pretty good, and even the drain pipe was exposed.
Yeah, the hazards are real. There's no question about it. But hey, every day is an adventure, and that's kind of why you're out there, right?
It is. And that's what I like. Like, I've done Utah twice fully. I just attempted it again. We got 100 miles in and adventure really hit us. But the point being, like, every time I do it, the terrain is different because of whatever the weather's done. So,
so
if you've got one in your backyard, you can still do it again and it will be a little different.
That's 100% true, but let's not bury the lead here. Have you talked about your most recent adventure on the Utah BDR? Because I just saw some social media clips, and I was like, man, what is going on? Do I need to send a rescue chopper out there, or is Cody going to be okay?
We hit the button.
Yeah, did you? On your spot? Really?
Yeah, the guy had he had a Garmin, and we did hit the button. So pretty much, we had another gentleman come who was supposedly a guide of adventures.
A lot of air quotes going on as you say that.
Yeah, well, yes. He showed us a whole bunch of pictures of all these people he's guided, and every one of them had a broken collarbone. Their bike was busted. Their knee was busted. To me, that's not a guide. My idea is I wanted to help him get through the Utah safely. This was my friend.
Sounds like a dungeon master.
Yeah, yeah. So, I wanted to get them through safely. This was all of their first experience with a BDR. And they're on bigger bikes, 790s. So not like my 701 that's easy. But I wanted to skip Butler Wash because I remembered it gets real deep sand. And this guy said, there's no sand there. Well, people that know me know I don't usually know exactly where I'm at most times. That's how adventure happens for me.
All right, sure. Yeah.
I might have a general idea, but... So I start questioning myself, and okay, maybe I'm wrong. Well, next day we get into it, and it went from 3 to 4 inch sand to the moon dust or silt, like a foot deep. And one guy went down, twisted his knee, and the other guy behind him tried to avoid him. He went down and fractured 3 ribs. So,
man, that is, that's a gnarly, and you made it about 100 miles total on that route, huh?
Yeah,
on the trip around anyway.
It was a bummer. You know, what's cool is the coolest part of that is we had barely kind of met each other. There was 4 of us outside the other guide, quotation guide. But man, we worked so well together to make sure they were safe. We got the bikes out. We got them to the hospital. We hit the button. Basically, we got them to the hospital quicker than the button came. So.
Well, I'm glad everybody survived, but you know, that is something that we do, you know, obviously being on the social media end, and we have Facebook group pages for all 10 of the routes. We'll have another one for the Wyoming route, but you see stories like that from time to time, and it's, it's a good reminder that it doesn't matter, you know, how proficient you think you are or how non-technical you think the section is. You know, we see stories where guys just go, it was flat, it was good conditions, and my buddy just lost concentration and two times over, and now he's got a broken collarbone or he's got a broken ankle, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, on one hand, that is a little bit of that risk factor is what makes it exciting. And that's part of the reason that we're out there, right? We kind of want to test our merits a little bit. We don't want it to be on rails.
Yeah, it's not a Disneyland. It's not.
That's exactly right. Yeah, it's that's not the intent. But on the same token, you know, you want to practice before you go out, and you want to take it seriously. You want to make sure that you do. You know, spots are always great, particularly if someone's traveling solo. But even if you're in a big group, because sometimes that can be even more treacherous, right? Because you're trying to do everything for someone that's injured. So,
yeah, I would highly suggest or strongly suggest taking some sort of SOS, you know, even in a group.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, that applies to all the routes, but Utah certainly has some gnarly stretches. So,
apparently so. Yeah. But, you know, I don't want to promote it too much because, like, to scare people or whatever. It was just one of those situations. And prior to that, I mean, we were in our groove right before that sand got deep. So it felt like you could do 30 miles an hour, right?
Yeah.
And it just snuck up on you around a corner and then it's deep. So just be aware. And, you know, people had trouble getting through it. Other people came through and we helped them get their bikes through. But you just got to be aware. Like you said, it's a real adventure and it changes. Just be safe.
Yeah. Anytime you go off road, you got to be prepared to get into some technical stuff, especially on the bigger bikes.
Yep. There's no question about it. I mean, obviously, and I think most of the BDR community is great about being at GAT, you know, wearing all the gear all the time. But even there's things, you know, you think, oh, I've got enough water to get to the next point.
Oh,
you know, in Utah, someone breaks their collarbone and you're sitting next to your bike waiting for that SOS device, you know, waiting for somebody to come and get you. You might want to make sure that you've got 2 days, 3 days worth of water, you know, especially if you're down in like Lockhart Basin, maybe even longer than that, because it could be, you know, it could be a long stretch out there. And those buzzards, they ain't taking pictures for social media, if you know what I mean.
No, they're not, definitely. And I did run out of water in Lockhart, but I set up the outside of my tent to get them some shade while we waited. Cause I mean, you're in the desert and the sun's just cooking you like a lobster, you know?
Right.
And there's no shade in Lockhart. Well, there's very little shade, I should say, in Lockhart Basin. You're getting behind a rock wall. There's no trees or anything like that.
And usually where you wreck, of course, there's no shade, but
blue skies and clear sailing. Yeah.
I'm curious, how did you come to the BDR? Obviously, you ride motorcycles.
Yep. Yeah. You know, it was actually just kind of a sort of a fortunate turn of events. Actually, about 3 years ago, they had an ad on Craigslist where they were just looking for some part-time help. And I saw that about 45 days after it was posted. And I was like, well, I'm going to email anyway. And I emailed Ina, who's the director of operations. Mm-hmm. She emailed me back and she was like, hey, look, you'd have been perfect, but we just hired somebody. So, you know, we'll keep you in mind. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's a bummer, but that's the way it goes. And then almost 12 months later, exactly, I saw a very similar ad again. And this time I saw it about 25 days after it had been posted. So I thought, well, I'll fire an email again. And I did. I said, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but we exchanged emails. And pretty much Ina emailed me back and she's like, we've been trying to find you. We've been trying to get in touch with you. Like, let's set up an interview, get in here. And that was history. We went in there and had a nice conversation and met with her and Paul Gillian. Paul's obviously the president of the BDR. And, you know, fast forward, here we are 2 years and 1 month later. And it's been a lot of fun to be involved. The people are terrific. You know, everybody in the organization, the ambassadors. And it's so great being on this end of social media too, because you get to be the first person to share in everybody's victories and their planning, you know, and their ups and their downs. And you get to hear about all the family adventures, you know, fathers and sons and, you know, fathers and daughters riding together and friends, you know, high school reunions out there, birthdays, like the whole nine yards. It's just amazing what this organization has accomplished. And it's really an incredible experience to be involved in it, especially at this stage. You know, we're coming up on our 11th year here, and there's no signs of slowing down. You know, things are just picking up. So you just think about when we're talking about 20 years and 20 routes, what that might look like. And it's just, it's really exciting.
You guys are killing me. I had a goal to do all 10, and then now there's 11. And by the time I get through a few more, there's going to be 12 and 13.
And something tells me that's a good problem to have, Cody. You know, I don't think that you're too disappointed in it, but
no, I think it's awesome. And, you know, I've talked with Chappie a lot about the community of ambassadors, or just the Facebook groups, or just the people in general are just great. I've seen stories where somebody in Idaho fell off their bike, hurt themselves, and some guy that lived in Idaho literally went and rode his bike out for him. He wasn't even doing the BDR, but he just went and grabbed, helped out, you know. It's just such a great community, and the views are amazing. The people are amazing. The trails are great.
Yeah, it really is. You know, and I would mention, if people are listening too, we obviously had to take a year off from COVID for the last route. So we did, though, do a 10-year anniversary film that kind of recaps the history and that kind of thing. And that's available for free on YouTube. So if you go to the Ride BDR YouTube channel, you can watch that thing in its entirety. And it just talks about how it started, you know, with this single route, our founding sponsors over at Tour Tech USA. And this idea just to, hey, there's something similar in Oregon. Let's do something for Washington. And then fast forward, like I said, here you are, 10 routes, 10 additional routes later, soon to be when we get to January anyway. And it's just amazing the vision that these guys have carried through. And the board members that have been on for the entire time, and some of the people who have had to come and go for other obligations but still contribute in just huge ways. And it's really a fun watch. We had we did a live streaming event to reveal that film last year, or I guess maybe earlier this year, now that I think back on it, but just really great feedback. And it's just, at the end of the day, that's just what keeps this whole thing going, is the community, like Cody said, and the people who are doing the small gestures, like going out and rescuing people. And then just the pictures and the notes that we get, you know, on pretty much a daily basis around here, which is just, like I said, just incredible to see. And just it makes you excited every day to get up and check those social media feeds and just to see what people are doing and just to keep producing routes. You know, I'm not involved in that so much. I just get to do the celebratory stuff, but I see the behind the scenes, and you can tell that's really what powers the organization.
Yeah. Great people. I did some work with Bryce Stevens.
Sure. Another one of the board members.
Yeah. I had to reroute. And dude, I'll tell you what, my mind was blown. Like, I got a phone call from him. He's like, will you go check out, I've got this alternate route in mind. Will you go check? I'm like, I look over at my wife. I'm talking to Bryce Stevens right now.
Yeah, he was in the first film, one of the founding members. Yeah. That still sits on the board today. Yeah, so he's a huge contributor to just everything that this organization has become. So, and it's a great guy too.
Everybody I've dealt with, and Bryce and Ron.
Oh yeah, yeah. Ron is Ron West, another one of our board members, and heads up our ambassador program. Just a class act, was the architect of the Southern California route, and the NorCal route is one that's in development now. I can't share too much more about that, but that's going to be another great one at some point in the next couple of years here. So
yes, and I think they also said there's one southeast, like from Florida up to hopefully the beginning of the Mabder.
So I won't say anything about the states there, but I'll say on our website right now, we have four routes that are listed as in development. Southeast is one of them. NorCal is one. Oregon is one. And then Montana is the other one. So,
So
those are all in development, but there's no predetermined order. Lots of things go into that, you know, from
there's
natural
so much.
Disasters like fire seasons, and then things like having to, you know, make sure, you know, private property, that you're respecting that, and public land and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot that goes into it, but
have to get permissions, and they have to ride the route. And I mean, there's a lot that goes in. I'm just so grateful that they do all of this stuff, because we just go ride it and we're like, oh, this is cool.
Have the fun, right?
We get the map from Butler and we're good to go, or download it.
And if I understand correctly, the majority of the route planning and stuff like that? Most of those people are volunteers.
So, you know, I wouldn't be the best person to ask about that because I am, you know, not directly involved in the route planning. There is definitely, we do rely on some local volunteers and a lot of our board members who have, you know, ridden in these areas and have spent a lot of time or have a lot of free time to where they can go out and initiate some of the scouting. But it is definitely a community effort. It's not something where, you know, one lone person at the BDR sits, you know, at their desk and goes, well, here's a line. I think we'll just connect these. It's like, no, it's a lot of riding and a lot of going, okay, well, this fits with sort of the BDR theme and this doesn't, or this is really great, but this isn't really what we're about and that kind of thing going back and forth. So that's why it takes so long to develop these routes.
Yeah. And considering that you've put out one a year, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And that's one of the, you know, again, on social media, that's one of the big things. People are like, hey, can we do more than one route? Or can we, this state or that route? And it's like everything's a process and everything, you know, it does ultimately come down to time and resources and that kind of thing. And, you know, for just on a personal note, I think the pacing is kind of nice. You know what I mean? Like you do one a year, it's kind of an event. And, you know, we have some, like with Wyoming, we already have people, you know, it's on my calendar, you know, I'm putting it on the books or, you know, tagging their friends and that kind of stuff. And that's awesome to see and having that anticipation there and kind of that, you know, that 1 year time block to sort of savor it and enjoy it and let the community sort of reap the rewards. I think for me anyway, like I said, on a personal note, I think it works.
I think it gives you time to create a buzz too, right, Derek?
That's exactly right. Yeah. You know, we got to think about that marketing angle there. At the end of the day, we want people to enjoy the routes and we want the communities along the routes to benefit too. And that's all part of it.
That's what's really cool to me. And I think Chappie will echo this. We've talked about how they go through small communities and our dollars, as they say, infuse some dollars into the community, keep the gas station open. And that's where you meet the coolest people.
100%.
Yes. It's like, I had no idea. I was just doing this to ride. And then you come home with a new friend or five or it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Man. Well, that's the local communities are part of the route. You know, obviously, you know, we're trying to get people into beautiful places and on, you know, a mix of enjoyable roads and in challenging roads. But yeah, these local communities are really what makes it because that's the heart of, you know, what these regions. It's the lifeblood, right? It's the people. And that's where you have those lasting memories, right? You go in and you meet people or you just run into other riders and you get to share kind of, in some cases, it's like a moment in time, you know, you go back into some of these small towns and remote areas of New Mexico or Utah and that kind of thing. And for the most part, people are so appreciative of it and so welcoming. And yeah, that's a thing that we try to really emphasize. Sometimes I think it gets overlooked a little bit because people are so excited to get out there and ride. But there's two main missions for the BDR organization. That's access and advocacy, and then that's to drive economic activity to these underserved communities, these rural communities. And we're really proud of that aspect. And that's, you know, they both go hand in hand. These areas stay open to motorcycle riders and other forms of off-highway vehicle travel when the communities that they go through are on board with it.
And awesome. I think that's a side that doesn't get enough, in my opinion, attention, because it's really cool, you know, infusing the dollars, you know, keeping the trails open, all that. Yeah, the routes are cool, but there's more to what you guys are doing. And that's 100%. why I would like to be a part of it when I can, so.
Yeah, and I'd just like to say if anybody listening wants to be a part of it, they can head over to the Ride BDR website and become a supporter.
Yes. Yeah, definitely being a supporter is a great way to obviously support what we do. But there's a lot of perks that go along with it too. You know, we have bronze, silver, and gold supporters, and every level comes with a swag pack from us. So we send you out some BDR gear. And we've worked with over 30 industry sponsors. So you get some huge discounts depending on the level you support at. But it can be, you know, massive discounts on tours or on gear. We're really proud to work with brands like, you know, Senna and Wolfman and Giant Loop and Moscow Moto and Moto's Tires. And I also work, in addition to doing social media, I work with a lot of the sponsors. So I'm trying not to forget anybody, but
yeah, there's a long list.
Yes, absolutely. But you can, I mean, it's, if you're in the market for gear or for travel or anything related to BDR, it will 100% pay for itself.
I can attest to that because I became a supporter this year because Cody and I were supposed to be doing a double BDR. We were going to do the Mabder and the Nebder like back to back all in one trip.
Gnarly.
It's been a year of big plans and lots of failures.
Big plans and big disappointments.
We're failing up, okay? It's going to happen. It will happen.
But yeah. I became a supporter, and the $100 for the bronze supporter, I got that back in the discounts that I used when I was buying, you know, stuff for the trip and whatnot. Because 10% on a $700 Moscow bag, that's $70 right there.
That's exactly it. Yep. You know. And then plus, you get some sweet BDR shirts and
the bandana.
And kind of right,
the,
yeah.
Buff, whatever you want to call it. That's my favorite thing. I could live in those.
Yeah. And I'll add just one other quick shameless plug there too. We're also doing our Win Tenere 700 sweepstakes right now. So yes. for $25, you can get in on that. And we've got a 2021 Tenere 700. We decked it out with over 15 grand worth of upgrades. You get hard and soft luggage. We've got some upgraded suspension on it. I mean, it's already probably the best stock adventure motorcycle market on a motorcycle on the market. I think most people would think that's the case. And then we just decked it out, BDR special edition. And that's a huge fundraising effort for us. So even if you're already a supporter, throw your hat in the ring for that thing, because that could really make your decade.
Yeah.
$25 for a $20,000 motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly. So winT700.com.
Nice. Last year, I did throw my hat in the ring for the, because I'm a KTM fanboy, even though I try not to be, but you think you had the 790 or 690 last year.
Yeah. No, KTM 790. Yeah, the 790.
And so I was all excited and I posted on media. I'm like, come on, universe. And Nathan from the BDR.
Yeah.
He says, hey, you're an ambassador. You can't win. I'm like, well, at least I donated to the cause.
That's right. Yeah. Still helping out. Yeah. Well, I can tell you if this is any consolation at all, Cody, that I was there for the live drawing and it was not your name. So the universe had not conspired against you. So
beautiful.
All is still fair out there.
Beautiful. And I didn't feel bad, but yeah, it was funny. He did. I mean, it was like 10 minutes after I posted. He's like, aren't you a BD? Yeah. An ambassador? You can't win. I was like, I didn't read those rules.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to mention that to Nathan. I'm going to say, hey, man, let the ambassadors, after they donate, at least give them a week before you crush their dreams.
Yeah,
man.
just send me a BDR buff or something to make me – I can wipe my tears.
Consolation prize for sure.
So go ahead, Chappie. Sorry.
I was just going to say, you're not just – running the social media, you've actually been out on some of the routes because I actually saw a video of Nathan's, and Cody just sent it to me this morning that you were actually went out on a ride with him. Was it Oregon?
Yeah, earlier, earlier in the spring. Yeah, we did. We went on a ride just doing a section one of the Washington BDR. I'm based in Washington in Seattle, right here where the BDR headquarters is. So yeah, I try to get out there when I can. You know, I am an enthusiast just like everybody else. So, we got to go rip it up every once in a while. And, I shouldn't say that. One of my favorite sayings in motorcycling is that I am a motorcyclist of leisure. So I always tell people, like, you tell me where you want to meet for lunch. And, if we arrive there at the same time, good. And if we don't, that's fine too. Like, I'll see you at the end of the day. So
I like that.
Yeah. But yeah, we went out and a couple of the teammates here and rode a little bit of section one, which is, it's just fun riding. You know, it's pretty easy stuff, you know, some two track, but just kind of in and out of the mountains. And we had kind of some perfect muddy conditions when we were out there. So it was nice and sticky, but lots of fun to get out there. And this is still, I mean, they're all beautiful routes, but Washington is just such a beautiful state to ride in, you know.
I'm a little bummed So my Utah group that we just did, we were supposed to go to Washington. The whole group. And I guess there was some fires or something. And so they said we wouldn't be able to complete one or two of the sections. And I was like, if I want to go, I want to complete it, you know, because I get like one shot to go to a different state. I've got a family and limited funds. So I want to go start to finish.
We had some real challenges out here with forest fires. And we had even a time where the DNR had to shut down all public land, which was really kind of, and that was just in anticipation of prevention of forest fires because it was so dry out here in the mountains. So there's still a couple of sections that you can still ride technically the entire route, but there are some areas that you don't have access to that you
work around.
You may want. Yeah. So, and now it's starting to get pretty cold at night. So
yeah, it is getting chilly.
Sub-zero bag.
Bring the sub-zero. Good point. Washington's beautiful though.
Oh yeah. I mean, look, we are so blessed to be here. The access that we have to all sorts of outdoor recreation, it's endless. You know, you could ride, and every year is different, right? Just like in a lot of these Western states, the terrain changes over time, and the time of year, you know, riding October versus June is so different. Riding north to south and south to north is different, you know, like most of these BDRs too. So it's a good place to be an adventure rider. There's no doubt about that.
I have a soft spot for Washington. I lived for like a year in Spokane long, long ago.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful. We could fish in seven different lakes within 10 miles that had different fish. You could just on the day, you could fish for this and then go fish for that. Newman Lake is where we live.
There when you're in Spokane. So
yeah. And Idaho's my favorite place on earth after the BDR. Wow. Yeah.
It's a lot of people's favorite. No question about that.
I mean, when you go to get gas and you have to go into the bar to get the lady making the hot dogs to come out and go to the above ground gas tank, and it has 25 people, a population, and 24 of them are in that bar. It's awesome, man. It's so cool. I'm telling my wife, I want to move to Elk City so damn bad. She's like, no, I don't think they have a hospital there.
Elk City, population 27. That was what's coming next, huh? Yeah. Jeez.
We'll get Chappy out to Iowa.
Yeah, worth the trip, you know, 100% if you can make it out, no question.
Well, I'm just grateful that you decided to join us. I figured we'd reach out and see.
Yeah, no, it's awesome to be here. I don't know how long you guys usually go for on these episodes.
Usually go about an hour.
About an hour.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, we're just scratching the surface here.
Scratching it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so let me ask you guys. I think, Cody, are you you're a KTM fanboy, but I thought you were on a 701. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that a sore spot?
A little bit. A little bit. All right.
Chappy, well, I mean, that's practically KTM.
Right. Chappy likes to rib me. So it's kind of a funny story. I've got a really good buddy, and he did well. He owns a company, and so financially he's done really well, and he likes to ride. I'm a little less monetarily fluent. So I come up with wonderful ideas, and I was telling him, man, I've been looking at the 690s. I want one of those. You know, it looks so cool. I saw some Chris Birch thing in New Zealand. So I start telling him, well, I go over like 2 days later and he has the 701. I'm like, why'd you get the white one? That's ugly, man. Come to find out it had a counterbalancer in the motor that the 690 didn't that year. But I gave him a lot of crap about it. Well, then my buddy Tim Collins invited me to Idaho, and all I had was a two-stroke. You can't ride that cross state. So I borrowed that 701, fell in love with the bike, fell in love. That's where I met BDR, and like my life changed. So basically he gave me a deal I couldn't refuse on that bike, and I've loved it, and I still love it. But I always wanted it to be orange, and I get a lot of crap about it.
You got nothing to be ashamed of, I don't think. For my money, that would be one of the top five probably BDR bikes. I mean, it's a great all-arounder, and you know, you've got enough power where you can if you have to do the highway for a while, you can do that. So
yeah,
I think it's a I wouldn't be ashamed I'm not ashamed. Don't go spray painting an orange or anything like that.
I'm not ashamed. It's a BDR Slayer, I would say. I mean, I rode it on highway 1,000 miles down to Arizona to do the Arizona BDR.
Right.
And then rode it home in 9 degrees.
Oh. See, that's...
yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, heated grips on that thing?
I had heated grips, heated gloves, and I didn't feel these 6 fingers for 2 months.
Yeah.
The tips of them. But.
Yeah.
I'm a
in case anybody's nutty. Listening, that's 5 on one hand and 1 on the other.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, the throttle hand was good. It was what?
Yeah,
no.
You're fine there, yeah. So, yeah. And what about you, Chappy? What's your adventure bike of choice?
I have a 2021 BMW 850 GS.
Okay, right on, yeah.
And a CRF 250L.
Oh, well, so you got kind of the best of both worlds there.
Yeah. Well, I just got the 850 because 2 years ago when I bought the 750, I didn't know what a BDR was. So I bought the road version.
Right.
And then,
you gotta upgrade.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I'm hoping to get the wife into riding the Honda so sure. I can do like what Nathan does, you know?
Yeah.
Go and explore. You know, I can do it on the bigger bike and the wife can ride the little one.
Nathan gave me some advice about that, Chappie, and I'll share it with Derek as sure. well. He said, my wife wants to learn how to ride. He said, pay somebody to teach her, not you. I think it's sound yeah. advice. It wasn't facetious at all. It was sound advice, I think, because yes. I remember teaching my wife how to drive a no stick fights. Shift. We almost weren't a couple anymore.
Yeah, I think that's good advice, not just for couples, but even if you have a friend who wants to ride, you know, I think there's lots of stories of mismatched talent on routes and on BDRs. And, you know, this is the fact is you go out 1 year and you think, oh my God, like that was really pushing my limits. And, you know, you're sitting there and you're nervous the entire time. And then you go out and you do it the next year and you go, why was I so nervous about this? You know what I mean? And it's, when you're mismatched and you feel like you're being pushed along and you feel like you're being rushed, it can be a real frustrating thing. But paying somebody to teach you is really great advice for anybody. And now, you know, the teaching game has advanced yeah. so much when it comes to off-road stuff. Like a lot of these schools are really, expert teachers. They are not just the old days of going, well, here's how I do it. And you go, what are you talking about? Like, no, they break it down. They take you through step by step. And, you know, we have a lot of, that's another thing. And for BDR supporters, a lot of discounts to a lot of training schools. We're supported by a lot of training schools all over the nation that specialize in off-highway riding. So if you're going to do it, take advantage of it.
Definitely check it out. Because when I was growing up, I don't recall, maybe there was, but I don't recall like off-road. You could go take the road safety course or whatever, you know, and be trained sure. there, which is a great idea. But like, if you wanted to go off-road, you either did it yourself or had a buddy or your dad had done it for years and teach you, you know, now you can buy the Chris Birch thing online or you can go to a class and definitely lessons help you progress quicker than just trying to learn like I did. Don't do that.
Tour Tech, usually every year they do an East and a West. I mean, I know the East, they were supposed to be doing it when we were supposed to be on our trip. So I didn't sign up for it and kicking myself because I would have been able to do it because we didn't do the BDR.
But. Sorry, Chappie. Sorry about
well,
that.
Well, no, I mean, it just,
my wife, it my happens. Wife had some health issues, which changed my whole year this year. So I now am a proud owner of a BMW GS 800, so that I can take the wife on adventures. And, she loves the bike and I like it too. It's just not my 701, but.
Well, priorities anyway, right?
Yeah.
It's good to share, you know, it's good to share the adventures, but yep.
Yeah. But we were, speaking of Tour Tech East, we were just at Tour Tech West out here, I guess as we record this, last weekend in Plain, Washington. So we had a good turnout out there and BDR was there and there were a lot of training schools out there, a lot that support BDR too. So those are, some of those off-road rallies are really great opportunities to get your feet wet on expanding your experience in sort of a, you know, sort of a fun environment where you don't have to feel so intimidated as far as being like one-on-one or anything like that. So
kind of controlled. So I'm curious with those, like riding schools or whatever lessons, when you go to, say, the Out West, is it more affordable or like a group rate or just?
You know, it really kind of depends a little bit on the, because sometimes they'll alter their curriculum, you know, in the anticipation that people may only want to spend a half a day training and they want to spend the rest of the time out riding like that. So you see some variability, but for most of these classes, if you're going to do a day, you know, it's day or half day training, but it's like, you know, $250, $300, $400, something like that. And if you are in the adventure game, you know that that's kind of a drop in the bucket to get up to speed, right? Because we all do.
Right.
That's less than a pannier.
You got the gear, you got the yeah, exactly. So, and that's probably the one that will pay, you know, outside of the bike itself, the most dividends, because so many people, you know, I've been seeing this, this is kind of an example, but obviously the Harley Pan America has introduced a lot of new off-road riders or soon to be off-road riders to the game. And if you've never ridden on gravel before in particular, like it's a different experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to do it on your first time, you know, on a 500-pound, 550-pound, 150-horsepower monster. It's a great motorcycle and it's a very capable bike. Harley knocked it out of the park, in my opinion, but you're probably going to want to ease into it, you know.
If you want to go full throttle into it the first time on a big heavy bike, let me get my camera and invite me out, please.
No. Yeah, I was going to say use your friends. Don't make it your own bike. That would be
right. Rent one.
Yeah, another piece of advice there for sure.
Oh, they found you.
Yeah, this is life in downtown Seattle. I almost prefaced that with we'll probably hear this at least once.
We know he's talking to Chappie and Cody. Let's go get him. That's it.
IP address tracked.
So what are you riding currently? Or what's your favorite?
So I have been for many, many years now, a diehard 1996 DR350 rider. And I like it old school. People always look at me a little funny when I tell them, without exaggeration, that it's my dream bike. I love everything about that motorcycle, including the purple and royal purple and gold paint scheme. And nice. It's just a rad ride. It's bulletproof. It's simple. It's got six gears. It weighs 300 pounds, which compared to something a little more modern, isn't as light as it could be, like a KTM 350 EXC or something like that. But as I hinted at earlier, motorcyclist of leisure. So I am thrilled with that bike, and I will always have that motorcycle. And I think if I were to buy something to complement that, which I don't really have any immediate plans to do, it would probably be an early 90s R100 GS, and that's just because I like the old tractor style.
Nice.
Agrarian motors, as I refer to those as there. So, you know,
I love it, man.
I like the vintage 90s paint schemes, and I just I like some of those, you know, early 90s motorcycles. What can I say?
My first motorcycle was a KTX 200 from the 90s.
Oh yeah.
I wish I could ride that now that I know how to ride a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be a little bit of a different change there, that's for sure.
Yeah, those were amazing bikes.
Your bike, you probably know when it makes one sound that something's kind of off. You've been with it for a little bit, and there's a lot to be said about that.
That's the truth, and this honestly, so little goes wrong with it. You know, I was out riding actually on the Washington BDR earlier this year with my friend Jason, who actually owns Dirt Bike Safety Training out here, and we had stopped and we're taking some pictures and stuff, and then we'd taken a long break, and I went back to start it, and I was just kind of, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he's like, when was the last time you adjust the valves on that? I looked at him. I was like, dude, that doesn't happen. He's like, well, if you adjust the valves, it'll probably start easier. I'm like, yeah. I was like, I could pull the choke too, you know? And he's like, oh, you don't have the choke pull? And I was like, no. I was like, that's how I know if something's wrong. If I can't start it, you know, if I have to pull a choke, then I know I need to go in and get the valves adjusted. And he's like, all right.
So perfect. You don't need a service light. The choke will
tell you.
No, I got
a whole system worked out, man. Like, let me tell you. Thing.
I love that. I love that.
And of course, one of the benefits too, you know, being 300 pounds, I have, you know, you can bump start that thing all day long. So it's got a lot of fail safes built into it, and unintentionally or otherwise.
Yeah, I don't even think I can bump start mine.
All the electronics on the new ones?
Yeah, some of the modern ones. That's a that can be a real challenge. As you see so many guys not carrying the portable, you know, jumpstart packs that they would carry in their cars. But, you know, obviously you get the added benefit. You can charge your electronics off it, too. So it's not too much of a downer. But, oh, yeah, you just point that thing downhill and pop the clutch in second gear. And it usually fires right up.
I carry one of those all the time now.
Yeah, one of those jump starters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only one problem. The one day I needed it, I used it to charge my phone all night. Video to come soon.
Well, you have to, a man like you has to have priorities, right? You can't leave your YouTube subscribers clamoring for more out there, man. You got to get that. You got to get that stuff going.
And it's someday, I'm sure somebody's going to say, this guy does this on purpose to set up to be good. No, this. My friends say, just put a GoPro on your shoulder. We just want to watch the stupid things you do every day, you know. And I'm like, okay, whatever. No, my whole point of that, the channel is, you know, if I can do this, you should be able to and get out. Because before I went to the BDR, I told Chappie this and other people, but I literally was kind of like a home body. Like I'd sit in my room all day depressed or not go outside. I was kind of didn't like to go outside and stuff. And man, it changed my world. So,
yeah. Well, that's cool, man. I mean, it's great that it opened up an entirely new way to live your life. And it's just, it's amazing how those things can start to stack on each other too. You know, it's, you get enthusiastic about one thing and you start to just to see the world and through an entirely different lens.
Definitely.
And, you know, getting into some of these beautiful places, it's, hey, it's the human condition, right? It drives inspiration. That's for sure.
Definitely. So,
yes.
I like to get other people to get out and do it, man, because, you know, get out and live your life. It's awesome, whatever it is. But
yeah, start planning those Mobder to any BDR routes back to back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You still got it planned. It's just, it's this still time planned. I can it actually ride postponed. The 800 to you.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do it next year. So it's going to be cool.
Yeah, you got all the difficult stuff down. Now you just got to ride it.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely going to do it. And, you know, because of the whole YouTube thing, we're planning on making like our own little documentary on it. So
fantastic. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Well, I'll plug another BDR project since you mentioned that. We, on October 24th, we're going to be doing our live fundraiser online, which will be on the BDR YouTube channel. And, that's our BDR Keep It 100 Film Festival. So
nice.
We're accepting submissions until October 10th. And there's no cost to submit your film, but it's just make it 100 seconds or less. So if you've got some helmet cam footage or if you want to go out and shoot something new, send it to us to enter your film. We've got 5 great prize packages, including some multi-day adventure motorcycle rentals, some overnight stays at some of our big-time BDR supporter, lodging supporters out there. We've got some panniers kits, soft bags from Wolfman and Giant Loop, all kinds of great stuff that you can win on there. And we plan to bring that back next year. So if you don't get a chance to enter this year, just keep that in mind. We're going to try to escalate this thing and keep taking these short films from people because we really, really enjoy seeing people out there and you know, having fun on the routes. Because like I mentioned earlier, that's why we do it. And this is going to be kind of our celebration of that this year. So make sure you tune in on October 24th.
Yes. Awesome. Tune into that. Great prizes, good people, good information. And Derek, I'm sorry that I just keep sending you videos and videos.
No, I love it, man. Like I said, keep on sending it to me. I'm sorry that I can't always get to them into the queue to share some of them on BDR social media, but I got a file on you, Cody.
And oh
you'll
boy,
start to see some of that stuff coming
oh,
out.
Oh boy,
so.
Well, mine are usually for comedy sake only, okay? But occasionally I catch cool views and stuff that are out there. Like
absolutely, it's man. Amazing. No, I've had a lot of fun watching your videos over the couple of years here. So I say keep sending them, man. Keep making them.
Well, we'll keep trying. The wife awesome. Hasn't shut me down yet. Now she's joining them. Probably to bring some order to this.
I was going to say, yeah, you need. It seems like you need a director on some of these. So maybe she can help maintain your focus.
She
out
told
there.
Me I'm undirectable, so whatever.
I can attest to that.
See, you're a guest, so I'm behaving myself. Chappie, am I doing well today?
Today.
Okay.
You're doing well today.
I haven't bleeped any words, no hee-haws, no. Out of respect, you know, for you and for the BDR. So we try.
Wait, man, sometimes you got to let it fly. That's all I could say.
Sometimes we do, yeah. But like, this is important. We wanted to get to know you, and with the BDR attachment to it, we want to represent well, you know, and just get the word out. These are fun, and it's like a planned vacation. You just have to prepare for, and then a lot of the work's been done for you, you know?
Right. And that's the idea, you know? And if people are listening and they're still not familiar with what BDR is all about, all of these routes that we've mentioned, these 10 routes and 11 here coming up in January, you download those GPS tracks for free, and then you just go out and ride it. There's no waiting for tour groups. There's no paying to get access to it. You just go out and enjoy it. They're on public lands. They all traverse through public lands. So we want you to see it, and we want you to have fun.
And send some of your pics to Derek and on
Facebook.
Right.
Write to us at RideBDR. It's on Facebook or Instagram. We love seeing that. And we get back to everybody that sends us stuff. Although sometimes it can be a heavy lift. Sometimes we get a lot of things in. We just did, you know, this best BDR campsite photo contest. And that's another thing for people to keep out for. But
I didn't win that either.
Yeah, I think we had close to 130 people send us their BDR campsites. So,
wow.
So it was really, really a lot of fun. I've got some more runner-ups that we're going to be releasing over the next couple of days here too, because we just got so many great pictures. But
I gotta say the winning picture was awesome.
It was pretty good, right? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of everything you want in a backcountry campsite. You know, great views and just peaceful. And that guy was out there riding solo, and he just had his bike in his single person tent. And it's like
my kind of dude. Yeah.
Dream evening. Yep.
Yeah. That was like the, if I could pick a theme for what we wanted for our Throttled Adventures, you know, our logo and stuff like that, we just had somebody do some artwork for us. And that's what we were looking for, something similar to that. So it was really,
that's so cool.
Yeah. So is that like a shot? I know you probably get paid from the BDR doing or whatever, but these photos and these stories, is that like a shot in the arm to keep you going? Because I would think that's just so cool hearing the story. Like, it invigorates me. So I'm curious if it does you, or what keeps you going.
Yeah, 100%, man. I love, absolutely love it when people send photos and share photos. And it is endlessly exciting to see the response, and then to see the actual places. You know, I obviously spend a lot of time working on the BDR, so it doesn't give me as much time to get out there and ride these places. But you know, it's like your mind starts running, you know, especially once we get through the summer season. You know, it's like June 10th, and you're like, okay, have I banked enough vacation time? Could I connect this route to that route? Like, how long can I stay out there? And then somebody share some picture from the Northeast, and you go, okay, well, if I go on a weekend and I trailer my bike out there, and then I fly back on a Sunday, and then on the next weekend I get out there on a Friday night, you know, you start putting it together like that. And it is, it's endlessly exciting. People should never be shy about sharing BDR photos or tagging us, because we, at the very least, I'm having the time of my life checking them out. And like you said, when you see some of those camping pictures that we had posted in this latest contest, it's just like, I mean, what more could you ask for?
It sounds like, and this is hypothetical, okay? Theoretically, people, I'm going to preface that. Sounds like we need to come kidnap you and make you come on an adventure.
Yeah.
Well, with consent.
Yeah, right. Consent. Yeah, there are some days when it probably feels like that here too. But I'm very fortunate, you know, in my role here with the BDR. I really do love being on this end and working with some of the logistics and talking to, you know, the sponsors and then the community and that kind of stuff. So, it's a very close race for me between what I would rather do on any given day, being out there actually riding it, or just being out there and communicating the message and sharing in sort of the joy and the excitement that people do every day. So I can promise you that although I spend a lot of time on it, it rarely feels like work. So
that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I'm just dying to know, since you got on, what class am I in behind you?
class.
Because I feel like I'm going to the principal's office. There's some chalkboards behind him, and
there are. Yeah, that's kind of the motif of my home here, actually. So this is just believe it or not, this is my living room. So there's a lot of books and chalkboards in the background and that kind of stuff. And I'm actually relieved that you at the last second there you changed that question, because I think Chappie and I at first were on the same page. You're going to ask me to grade you as a person. And no. I was about to lose my internet connection. I didn't know.
I've had plenty of people to do that. You know, I'm trying to fail up. Okay, that's all.
I know. I'd say you're doing a good job. I'd give you at least a B+ in my book.
Holy cow, that's like the highest mark I've ever got. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Well, you know, we grade on a curve, and you're the only one we've graded. So.
Yes. Don't let anybody else in the class.
Oh, jeez.
Now, do you your work with the BDR and stuff? Is that something that you do similarly for your quote unquote regular job? I mean,
I'm a marketing professional. Yeah. During, full time. So I'm always in and around all the social channels and, you know, messaging and that kind of stuff. So it was a natural fit. And then I just, you know, I've been an adventure rider since I started. I started riding in my mid-20s, which is a little over 10 years ago now. And, I haven't known anything else motorcycling. Actually, my first bike was a KLR 250. And I got into it to adventure ride. So, you know, I've been an enthusiast from day one for my motorcycling career. So really just lent itself well to being involved with the BDR.
Perfect. Awesome. We love enthusiasts. In fact, speaking of motorcycle enthusiasts, I'm feeling rated M today.
Yeah, there you go.
Shout out to our sponsor, Motatomic.
Yeah, and they it's probably been about a year. We did a photo contest with them too in Jocelyn Snow. So
yes,
yep.
Oh, don't say that word.
What word?
Chappie keeps threatening that he might have her come on the show, and I'm just, I'm terrified. I love her. Well, I love her, but she could ride circles around my dreams. awesome, man.
She is. Yeah. She's obviously a BDR ambassador, and she'll also be in the Wyoming film here coming up too. So she's obviously awesome. Film as well. So yeah, great asset to the BDR team. Just an all around fantastic person too. And you know, clearly a hell of a rider.
She is. She's an inspiration for a lot of us, you know?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, great person, no question.
But if Chappie does get her on, I'm just going to be sitting like this.
I think, Cody, you'll figure out something to say. I think you'll be all right, man.
He will.
Yeah.
No, she's awesome. Like, she even messages normal people like me back. Because I was telling her, trying to get my wife on a bike to get out. And she was cheering us on. And then when we got one, she's like, congratulations. I'm glad it's a BMW or something, she said.
Yeah, well, that's why she's such a fantastic ambassador for so many, obviously for the BDR, but for so many brands as well. And just the sport in general, too.
I
couldn't ask for anyone better to represent sort of the pinnacle of it than Jocelyn.
She wears it well. She doesn't have a big chip on her shoulder. She's just a good person, it seems like, and very skilled. So,
yes. Yeah,
couldn't agree more.
Yeah, inspiration too, you know, to see somebody of her stature climb on probably the biggest bike there is. You know,
those things scare me.
It intimidates me. So, I mean,
I rode Tim's for like around the parking lot. Those things are huge, man. 1200s.
They are big bikes. They're, you know, and if you know how to ride them, they're quite capable, as Jocelyn demonstrates too. So, she's put the time in, that's for sure. And she has the skill set to make it happen.
Now, Paul Gillian's, I'm not sure if it would be his boss or friend from Tortec. I've seen him doing some serious wheelies on big bikes in the BDR videos. Is that Photoshopped or does he really do that? Do you know?
What are you talking about, Paul himself?
I'm sorry, I don't know his name right offhand. The owner of Tortec. The owner.
Well, so Paul is part of Tortec, and he's like in the Northeast video. There may have been a few clips of that, but
it was one of the first videos.
Yeah, so that may be Tom Myers, who was one of the founders of, you know, really helped get the BDR off the ground and still sits on the board today. But I'd have to go back. It's been a while since I've watched the Washington.
Yeah, that's where I saw it. Yeah. And they said he's a wheelie machine. I'm like, on those big bikes?
Well, by all accounts, he can ride. There's no question about that. And, you know, most obviously, everybody that's on the board is quite capable on a motorcycle. So it's a lot of inspiration. And I'd like to think that most of our ambassadors are too, including yourself, Cody, right?
Well, thanks. Yeah, knock on wood, I've survived so far. I mean,
yeah,
got angels looking out for me, but. So it's only willpower, but I mean, every time you do it, you get better, right? I mean, right. That's what I love about it.
Do you have, are you going to try to make a go at another BDR this year, you think?
Is the wife listening? I think I might.
Well, I was just going to say, you just attempted the Colorado 2-up.
I've attempted Colorado 3 times this year, and I've got only section 1 done.
Well.
But. I've had some great adventures.
You did complete
adventures.
The entire section, though.
Yes, the entire section. All right. Video coming. I'm really thinking about maybe Idaho, if I can get it in quick.
Oof. Yeah, you're going to have to do that in a hurry.
Yeah. Like it's next cold. Week, maybe.
Yeah. Well, you might want to start next leaving week. Right now, actually.
Yeah, well, so the thing is, got the bike, the BMW for me and the wife. But pretty much I'm going to have to sell the 701 to keep the Beamer. So I'm right. thinking one last hoorah would be a great idea.
There you go.
Don't for the 701.
Be devil's advocate. Come on.
Yeah, no, that's a little bit like a Viking funeral. Set that thing on fire and put it out to sea.
Exactly.
Yeah, I hear you.
So I'm hoping to. Hoping to get one more in this year. Or maybe just go finish Utah since I'm right here. But
yeah, you got that. Well, you still got a lot of time left for SoCal. We're just getting into the meat of that.
Yes. So. Actually, I've been invited. The people that are hurt currently from Utah, we're thinking of doing SoCal. They're already planning to go back and finish the Utah with me next year, by the way. So even when you get injured, once you've got the bug, people, it's coming back.
Yeah. Well, if you're laid up for a few days, that really gives you a lot of time to start trip planning. So
yeah, yes. It does.
Right?
And this time they're going to listen to me, right, Hollywood?
Cody only needs hours to plan.
My bike's always loaded.
Always loaded.
Well, these guys asked me this time, they said, ready to go. How do you do all these adventures? And like, you showed up with like, I don't know, $150 or something. These guys, a lot of people I travel with sometimes, they get hotels in it. I'm a camper. Like, I'll take enough gas money or close to it. And try and go do this. Like, there's no way I should complete any of these. I know it. They know it. People know it. But, man, you just get out and get it done, you know?
But if you've already got the motorcycle and a tent and sleeping bag.
Once you get the bike and the gear, it's relatively just gas, money, food, you know? Unless you're a hotel guy, then it gets kind of expensive.
Yeah, you're talking anywhere from 5 to 9 days, depending on the BDR.
Yep.
It's like 1,000 to 1,200 miles of joy. You're camping. You can probably do it for a couple hundred, $300-$400.
Yeah, I've done it for $200
in Arizona.
It's
not that expensive.
Yeah, once you got the bike and the gear, man, it's really the world's your oyster. You know, as long as you've got the resolve to, you know, it's like, let's be honest, it can be tough sometimes. You go out there, you ride a full day and you sleep and it's cold and you wake up and maybe it's a little wet and you start going, we're gonna stay at a hotel tonight, we're, you know,
and
we're gonna get a hot meal here. So it's really, it's what's your fortitude in challenging conditions, and if you've got that high resolve, man, you can make it a real, really affordable trip. There's
that's,
no question about
that's
that.
What's cool, I mean, a broke person like me can do it. And rich people can do hotel. It's cool because all types can do it. And there's usually a hotel along the route. And even I try to be hardcore, but day 3, day 4, man, I want a shower, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe just a ridiculousness on TV or something to watch numb my mind for a minute, one night.
Yeah. It'll really make you appreciate some of those little things if you're out there for a couple of days. That's
absolutely.
That's part of it too.
and all of us, hotel or camping, still have to ride the route. So it's cool. We become kind of brothers. And when you meet people along the route, hear their story, share yours, it's cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one of the greatest things about it is you'll see guys truck, you know, from four states away on their DRZ 400. And then you'll see guys, you know, come from, you know, 200 miles away, pulling their fifth wheel and their GS 1200s. Right. And we all start at the same starting point and we all end at the same ending point. So it attracts all ages and all demographics in that regard. And that's how it should be. You know, you should be able to experience it in a thousand different ways and have your own story to tell once you've gone out there and you've ridden the route.
Definitely. And once we hit the dirt and we're on two wheels, we're all brothers, sisters, like we're all in the same.
Yes.
I don't know. I just love it. It's kind of a instant brotherhood, sisterhood, whatever. And in
100%
amazing places. Amazing. You could live in the state.
Yeah, and regardless of what brand bike you ride, we're all of the same family, you know.
But you could,
just in general about the adventure community. There's the brand snobbiness is pretty shallow. Most for the most part, people are just happy to see you on knobby tires.
Yep,
right,
definitely. So, I think my favorite part though is I lived in Utah my whole life and didn't see any of these places that the BDR takes you.
Man, that's amazing.
40 something years. And I didn't know there was a town called, you know, whatever. Pretty cool.
Yeah. A lot of truth to that. And that's, you know, that's just in general, you think about that, right? Wherever you grew up and people who often come and visit the area know it better than you do. Cause you don't leave, you know, you go to the grocery store, you go to work and that's your life. And people get to come in from the outside with this new set of eyes. And then it really reveals it to you. And, you know, particularly in places like Utah, it's easily one of the most beautiful states. So I'm glad that we were able to pull back the curtain on that, or BDR was able to for you anyway.
You're welcome here by any time, by the way.
All right. I'm going to keep that in mind for sure.
Seriously. You say the word and it'll be done, my friend. So.
I'll keep that in mind for sure. It is one of my favorite states. I really do love Utah.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too. At some time.
We're going
to
get you here, Chappie.
Yeah. You're coming out here to do the two out here. And maybe the following year we'll plan the West Coast, something out there.
See, now you're talking.
I'm going to be in shock in the East Coast. Chappie tells me about this. I'm so used to open spaces, you know?
It'll be a little bit of a different day to day. That's for certain. But I think, you know, you're going to.
It'll be great. But Chappie was like, you have to plan where you camp. I'm like, I live in Utah. We just, wherever we stop, we set up our tent.
Right.
He's like, that's not how it is back here.
No. Yeah, definitely a little bit different density as far as population is concerned. But
yes.
So Chappie has some questions that we ask every guest.
Oh, I knew you were going to do that.
Uh-oh. I'm teed up for something.
I mean, don't worry, I won't grade you harshly since you were kind to me. No, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just kind of get to know you.
I hear you. Yeah, right. You're gonna have to ad lib here, Cody. You're gonna have to come up with some question off the top of your head while he looks.
All right, I'm just gonna ask you the one I do know, and that is so we'll give you two choices. You just say the first one that comes to your mind. Hotel or camp?
I'm going to say hotel.
All right. Where's that?
I love to camp. Don't get me wrong there. And it's close, but, I also like to sit in these small towns in the morning at the local coffee shop out on the front stoop in my gear and my bike parked out there and just kind of watch the world go by. And, I stayed at hotels, and I know that a big thing for people and adventure riders, they go to a hotel so they can grab a shower. Sometimes I don't even shower. I know.
Maybe I'll rethink my earlier invitation if he's not going to. No, I'm kidding. That's awesome.
So it's a close call, but I do listen. I've camped many a gnarly nights. I've been cold. I've been wet. I've done it all. And you know, if I hadn't had those experiences, I would say camping, but having had those experiences, I'd give the close margin to a hotel.
Well, I won't hold it against you, okay? Because I got to experience your version this time. I took the wife, we went to Colorado, and we opted for a hotel, and we stayed in this like 1800s hotel, got up, went to the local coffee shop in our gear, like you were saying.
Yeah.
We met some Harley riders, and I thought, okay, whatever. And we invited them to sit at our table because the other people were like, oh, you don't have a mask or something. And so we said, oh, you can sit here. And man, we talked for like 2 hours. We didn't even realize it was 2 hours. Great people. Yeah. So it was a cool experience. I can see how you can opt for hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Motorcycle community.
That's yeah. The motorcycle and just the communities in general. You know, I find that's what another one of the things I always tell people is, hey, you know, people are people. They're pretty good everywhere you go, and being in some of these places is a real treat. And it's nice just to see how the world works in different parts of it.
Yeah, it's cool. Plus, we infused some dollars into the BDR community. So
that's right. Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll skip the camper hotel, but I found the questions they were hiding under the keyboard where I put them so I wouldn't lose them.
So you won't forget them. Yeah.
Safe spot. Right.
All right, so dirt or street?
Oh, dirt.
Favorite band to listen to on the bike?
Man, that is a real...
It's a personal one.
Question there. Yeah, it is. I'm gonna give a bizarre answer here, but I actually like to listen to just mixes of jazz music.
Huh. Wow. Cool. Interesting.
Yeah. Cool.
So like particularly instrumental jazz, like just calming there.
Like a
well, not even that. Like- even some like you know, it can be upbeat stuff too. But just to have sort of a
groove,
to have no voices to the soundtrack when you're going through there, right? I feel like you can then indulge in your inner monologue a little bit.
Okay,
more.
Okay, so that's where I'm going. I gotta know. Yeah. So are you making lyrics up in your head? What's going on?
No,
there?
But it's. I feel like right because when you listen to someone else's lyrics, right, you're sort of interpreting their story. Right. Mm-hmm. And there's no, there's less of an opportunity. Like you can interpret it, but it's more difficult to write it on your own. So I do that a lot when I'm driving or on my motorcycle, you know, a lot of instrumental music is, you know, something that I enjoy. Of course, we opened the talking about Metallica. So
I was
going to
say,
you know,
I thought Ride the Lightning was coming, but
yeah. And there definitely is, you know, there's a wide variety there. But I guess if I had to pick, I would probably say just a mix of jazz music would be where I would go with that.
Any
I'm
favorite?
Have to try that.
Any favorite? If you're gonna tell me go listen to this jazz right now, what would you say?
You know, like somebody I really like is Cannonball Adderley.
Okay.
So
maybe we'll just play that on the next episode.
Oh. There you go. Yeah. Something to play, work with there.
Play so. It on the next episode.
I think I think that's cool, man. I would not have expected that. So we got.
Well,
to
that's why
know
Chappie
you.
Has these questions, Corey. Yeah. That's why. Yeah.
That's why he's in charge of everything. I just show up and try not to mess up. That's all I do.
Yeah.
Chappie's.
If I didn't
Chappie's
have to deal with the wife, I would play classical.
Yeah.
It's like. That's why I thought you were saying jazz because it's like calming and it like you keep the adrenaline down a little bit, you know. And
sure,
you
know.
I'm the opposite of that.
Well, it adds a different element to it. I think that there's nothing wrong with that. And I'll say too, this is a little bit of a deviation from here, but I for one also look forward to the day when I can ride an entire BDR on an electric bike and not listen to anything. You know, literally just the whizzing of the wheels as they go over the dirt. Like, I think that's another experience. And that's nothing against, obviously, gasoline engines or anything like that. I love, obviously, motorcycles. But I think it'll be really cool when we can get 300 miles out of an electric bike. And you can get out there. And I think about just cutting through the mountains and the forest on these two tracks and just hearing nothing, you know, just like the little bit of 25 mile an hour wind. I think that will be
a rather enjoyable experience too.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that. I told Chappie I don't listen to music generally when I'm riding on the bike, and he looked at me like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I like to hear the engine and the wind. Like today we took a ride through the mountains and there was some hawks above us and they made that screeching sound. It was awesome. I loved that sound. Like it, I don't know, it's just like the bird prey sound. Room forever.
You know, sometimes it's just whatever the mood strikes you too, right?
Yeah. Right. And if I'm tired trying to make the last miles, you might hear some Ride the Lightning in my headphones.
Yeah. That'll get you going too.
And depends on your scenery. Jazz could be great for a lot of beautiful places, I'm thinking.
Yeah, you know, when you're on especially some of these like flowy road sections where you're just kind of, you know, going and enjoying and just back and forth and some kind of climbing the elevation and the changes in scenery. It's a different dimension, you know.
It's like a soundtrack to your ride.
Yeah, that's it. You know, they play different music at different types of restaurants for a different reason, and it's no different in our daily life, right? Sometimes you want a little motivation, you go a little heavy metal, and then sometimes when you just want to sit back and enjoy the scenery, you know, you might be plugging into a little Vivaldi, right? Four Seasons, so you'd be good on that end too.
Hey, I love it, man. All right. Be careful, I'm going to become cultured listening to some of this. Never been accused of that, not once.
All right, so highway or the long way?
Oh, the long way. I ride a DR350. I do everything in my in my power to stay off the highway. That thing tops out at about 80. So
I hear you. I do the same.
How do you find good byways?
You know, I'm a big fan, obviously, of old school atlases, where you just kind of break open the section and look for ways to get around it. And then the additional benefit of having a 300-pound motorcycle is that it fits on the hitch carrier of my SUV. So when I need to get out of downtown Seattle, rather than slogging on I-5, you know, you can just strap it onto the back of that and not have to do any of the boring stuff. So sometimes it's a nice benefit. Obviously, there's enjoyment of different kinds for either way, but that is something that I find to be a relief, especially when you're crunched for time.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I put the 701 on those hitches too.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, 701 would fit right up there too.
When I had a truck before Minnesota.
Don't you know?
Another story to tell.
Yeah, that video will be out, but I'm going to therapy for that. I got stuck in Minnesota for a week. I went to pick up a motorcycle trailer for my good friend, pulled up to pick up the trailer, and my truck engine died, blew up. Ugh. And then I camped in his new trailer for a week before I got home. But anyway, the truck's still not running. A new engine, and it's still not running. So,
so I ride the bikes Cody's everywhere. Year.
Yeah, that's the start
of how his year started.
Yeah, almost 2022. Better things ahead, right?
Yes. 2020 was great. I did BDRs, and everybody was scared. They stayed at home because they didn't want to get sick. I had the Valley of the Gods to myself.
Oh, man.
Hundreds of miles.
Experience.
It was cool, but it was a little creepy, too.
Yeah.
All right. So the most important thing not to skimp on with your gear?
Your helmet.
And camping item.
For camping item, I'm going to say your sleeping bag. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Because, you know, sleeping bag, the thing is, right? Like if you have your sleeping bag, at the very least, you have a tent, right? So that's, you know, because you can always just sleep in your sleeping bag.
Right.
And then temperature ratings are so brutal, right?
Oh, yeah.
There's a cold night after a long day of riding and another long day of riding ahead. Like it can make for a miserable experience. Yes. So don't skimp on the sleeping bag.
Definitely good call.
Yes. I think we probably need to look at different questions because everybody seems to be answering them the same.
Sleeping bag's a popular answer, huh?
Sleeping bag, helmet.
Because they're right.
Yeah.
Consensus. Well, that maybe, maybe that's the impetus. Maybe you're right, Chappie. Maybe it's new questions because this has been decided.
It's been decided. Yeah. Although you threw us a curveball with the music. So
that's true.
The music, that's like a personal, I figure, you know, dirt or street, everybody seems to go dirt, you know?
Yeah.
But we're talking to people that are into adventure.
Did Ben say highway?
Well, yeah. Well, Ben was the only one on the street. Yeah.
And I've just found a love for the street recently, thanks to the BMW. But other than that, I was all off-road. I hated the street.
Yeah.
But it can be fun. It can.
If you have open highways, are a blast. You know what I mean? There's no question about that. Especially out here, we've got a lot of great, you know, curvy roads, and the section of the 101 out on the coast is quite fun. Even just the Olympic Peninsula in general, you know, the loop around there is pretty great. And Highway 2, Highway 20 through the North Cascades is absolutely stunning.
Take notes, Chappie. Take notes. I'm going to ask you later.
So there's a lot to be said for that. You know, I mean, I think at the end of the day, everybody enjoys riding when they're not in traffic. I think that would be the
the
deciding factor. Yep.
I make it a habit to go around cities and downtowns. You know,
that's why BDR roads. Is perfect for you, Chappie. They do too.
That's right.
They don't take you to Walmart on the BDR.
I live 5 hours from Niagara Falls, but me and the wife planned a trip to go out there. We went up through the Adirondacks. It took us 2 days to get there and 2 days back just because we wanted to take the long way.
Way. We got to see the sights, right?
Yeah. And I saw things that I never would have seen if, you know, we hadn't done that. So.
100%. Well, here, I mean, I know, I don't know if you guys are going to wrap up here or not, but maybe I should turn some questions on to you guys, right? Maybe I'll give you some inspiration for some new questions to ask future guests.
I'm game. Let me open another Red Bull.
All right. let's try this. How about, what would be, all right, if you're going to, money's not an option, an object, time, whatever, but what would be the dream motorcycle for you guys?
I think I got to ride mine this last trip.
All right.
Unfortunately, my buddy Hollywood twisted his knee pretty bad. So I had to go back and ride 6 miles out on his bike, which was a 790, KTM 790.
Okay.
He's had some suspension work done. But let's just say I rode that section on my BMW, then came back. So I knew the section and rode his bike back, but I did it in half the time. I haven't smiled that big since my first motorcycle. I was drifting around in my head, I'm going, Cody, we have two people hurt. What are you doing? I couldn't stop, man. It was so freaking fun.
You don't need a third person.
It was
hurt.
So fun. So there's
the 790,
790, 890, whatever, you know, whichever. I wouldn't discriminate.
I'd say that's damn near attainable.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's pretty good.
What about you, Chappie?
I don't think there is a perfect bike. I believe in a bike for the job type of thing. I have a KX250 that I ride on.
Crap.
Motocross tracks, yeah. Old two-stroke 1988, do vintage racing. I've got the 250L that I like to take out into the state forests. And then I've got the BMW, which I ride with the wife. I would not want to put the wife on the 250L.
So money, no object. You wouldn't get another bike?
I don't think so. I mean, I know I say the Husky 350 is, it would dream. Be my ideal dual sport, but I think I'm really happy with what I've got.
With money's no object, I'm just going to go see Toby Price and Chris Birch, put them together and have them make a bike for me.
There you go. Complete custom fabrication. Huh?
I want to be able to do desert, mountain, everything. Come on, guys. Let's do it.
Maybe you get Jay Leno involved on that so he can fund it.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I think he's got.
Yeah.
Keno Reeves is a good motorcycle.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
I'm sure I killed that. I killed that. But.
No, that would be a good one.
That's a good question, man.
That's for sure.
I'm going to flip it. What about you?
You know, so I honestly, the DR350 is my dream bike. I know, like I said, I know it's crazy, but it does everything that I want it to do. And then beyond that, I'd go those 90s R100 GSs. Like I said, there's nothing super special about them, but for me, the most important thing in a motorcycle is the way it looks. So that's one of those basic things where I always, for most people, I feel like you can't ride the potential of the motorcycle anyway, so you might as well get something that you find attractive and that every time you look at it in the garage, you go, hey, this makes me feel like I want to go ride.
So you understand why I want to paint it orange.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. You're the first one that's understood that.
I love tiger that. Stripes on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I just prefer the white.
Yeah, I think the white looks good too, but, you know, Cody's got a KTM complex. You got a
I like the black orange. You know, it reminds me of Tony the Tiger. I don't know. That's a good question. You got any more for us?
How about this? Is there anything on multi-day trips that you do that you think other people should take the time to do? Like, is there something that you always do when you're out on a multi-day trip that you think more people would benefit from or would enjoy?
Yes. And I don't think they can, but yes. I'm gonna answer with two because I do a lot of stupid things. But the number one thing, honestly and seriously, would be take some time.
Yeah.
I mean, just pull over in a random spot and look around. Feel the stream or something. I ride solo a lot, and I take a lot of time. I can make a record for the slowest trip from A to B.
Sure.
A lot of people I get with, and adventure riding's expensive, so they're usually successful people that do this. They're in a hurry. They want to check it off the list. And like we went to Utah and we went through the Valley of the Gods. I didn't even see my camp spot that I go to every time. We were going so fast. We missed it. We missed the cars that fell off the cliff on Moki Dugway. So kind of just take it in a little bit. Don't make it a check off. You could check it off, but take a quarter of the day to just randomly do something and maybe steer off the map for a second. That would be my other one. Get lost. I do that all the time, but I found the coolest places I've ever been on accident, you know? So that would be my thing.
Yeah. I think there's a huge benefit in building in just some buffer time for that because, you know, just even doing a little half hour exploration, like, hey, this is off the route, but let's turn down here and let's just go and see where it goes. Yeah. And, you know, not feeling rushed to do that. I think that's a big thing that can add to a lot of these trips because there's nothing worse, for my opinion, particularly for an adventure trip, than feeling rushed. Like I do not. I do not like plowing through.
You don't go on a BDR. I don't. Most people probably don't. To have another job to-do list, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we want to make it through the route, but man, just enjoy it. I don't know.
You do. And that's right. That's actually a kind of a hidden bonus suggestion, which is like, I get the idea is people want to complete the entire route. But, you know, look, if you've got 5 days of vacation or if you've got 10 days of vacation, whatever, if you get out there and you're having the time of your life and you're enjoying the scenery and you're having fun camping and talking to your buddies and just sort of farting around, like, all right, so you make it halfway through. Like, what are you out there for, right? Priority number one is to enjoy it and to have fun. And sometimes that is making it through the entire route and overcoming the obstacles in the way. But other times it's just being out there and
making memories.
And making sure that, you know, that it's good. Like I've done the MREs and the canned chili and all that kind of stuff. And then I've also camped with people where it's like all of a sudden out from the pannier comes a loaf of French bread and salami and cheese and olives and boxed wine, right? Woo. And you're sitting there on the side of the mountain. Everybody's got their tent pitched and everyone's in their camping chair and you've got this incredible spread and the sun's setting and you go like, okay, look, nothing wrong with that cold can of chili. That's kind of one of my things, eating like cold soup, just open the can, you know, the pop top and eating it out of there.
Raviolis. Yep.
Yeah. Right. Done that before too. But then you realize like, okay, there's a place for that and then there's a place for the other end too.
Yeah. That's cool. There's no wrong way or right way to do it.
Yeah.
Just do it your way. Right. And you know, I like trying other people's way too, because it's just part of the experience and you get to know other people through how they like to do things. So,
yeah, 100%.
It all depends on what you have the funds for.
Yep, that plays into it. Yep.
Yeah, or a room, you know. So.
Oh boy,
room is a can be a big one. Yeah, you don't want to. You don't want to be the guy on the gold wing pulling a trailer. That's for sure.
What about the guy on the 100-pound bike with 300 pounds of luggage?
Makes it a little tougher too.
Speaking of which, the Instagram post of the guy going down the BDR with the sidecar, that was awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Where that came about, but I saw that a couple weeks back.
We posted a recent maybe a week or so ago on it. And if it was the one that was out in Colorado, that is actually Michael Bilecki, and he is part of the film crew for BDR Films. He lives in Colorado, and he was out there with a Ural sidecar taking some pictures and that kind of stuff. But yeah, Michael's a good friend of the organization and part of the team too.
That's awesome. I want a sidecar for my dog.
Yeah, and I know we mentioned the film festival this year. Well, last year we did a 60-second film festival, and one of our top five finishers did the New Mexico BDR in a sidecar and put together a little 60-second film. So you could see him, and I think he was in a sidecar, and I think his son was riding with him too, not in the sidecar, but on an adventure bike. And he put together it has a real soft spot in my heart. It's just a fun, 60-second film. It's got this funky soundtrack, and it's got these cool little overlay graphics. It's kind of like it's kind of like a 1970s. It has this 1970s Charlton Heston vibe, like funky, like sort of. I don't know how else to describe it than that. But
nice.
Yeah. So people could see that, and it's still on the website and it's on the YouTube channel. But he did a really good job. Yeah. And the guy he goes by the name Mundo Bravo. So.
Mundo Bravo.
I'm getting insight into that. But.
That's now, an awesome name.
Is he the one that shared tips like for the videos for the 100-second?
Michael Bilecki is. Yeah. Yeah. The photo that we mentioned that was fairly recent on there. Yes. Yeah. His tips video is out right now on Instagram, and I'll be by the time this probably goes up, it'll probably be on Facebook here too. And it's on the 100-second BDR Keep It 100 Film Festival page. He's got some great tips for making ADV videos. Obviously, he's done it a lot. And then we also have one from John Putsch, who is kind of an extended part of the BDR family. He does some really great, like 5 and 7 minute. I guess you would call them sort of mockumentaries. He's a real professional filmmaker. But you can see the link to his YouTube channel or his Vimeo channel rather on his tips video. And he's got, in particular, one that he did on the Mobster with his friend Richie Montgomery, partner and friend. One that they just did on the Northeast BDR, too. And it's kind of a comical interpretation of the documentary film. So
nice.
Both are highly encouraged to watch.
Well, I'd like to say the NEBDR film was kind of comical, especially with Jocelyn and Mike Lafferty going at each other.
Yeah, that they provided some great comedic banter there, to say the least.
I like the beer can part.
Yes, yeah, they were trying to
make sure you could see the Bud Light or whatever it was.
And then again on that film, if people haven't watched it, they should go check it out. You can see that on our Vimeo or on Amazon Prime. You can rent it or download the film. But there was also a run-in with some bear spray.
Oh, yeah. You'll have to watch to understand that pain.
I'll just say the aforementioned Michael Bilecki is in there quoted as saying, I'll paraphrase his quote, but having bear spray on your balls is not the greatest thing.
It's not a good Friday night.
No. Yeah.
Pastime. Oh, man.
No.
And don't rent it. Just buy it, because I used to rent them. You're going to go back and watch them again, especially when you go to do the route. You're going to want to rewatch it. So just spend the extra few bucks and buy it.
You definitely should. And like the money goes to the BDR, and BDR is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So it all goes into a good place there. So consider it your ticket for admission to to the route there.
Yep.
And if they actually want to get the DVD, they can get those at TourTech, correct?
Yep. Still can get the DVDs, and you can link directly to that page through, if you just go to ridebdr.com, there's a link to the store there. So
nice.
Go to ridebdr.com. There's also helpful links. I think one takes you to TourTech, but what to pack. Although yep. I would not pack everything on that list. I tried it pretty much. Don't do it. Don't do it. I mean, do it if you want, but you're in for a treat. But no, great resources as well. Not only just the routes, but they try to help you get ready for it and stuff.
So. Yeah, everything you need is on there. I mean, you can obviously download the GPS tracks, but every route has its own page. And you have on that page, we have listings for, you know, local lodging on there. So if you're looking for whether it's campgrounds or hotels or inns along the way,
gas. There's
all kinds of information about when's the best season to ride, how long between gas stops. I mean, literally everything you need is on there and provided for free. So it's the first place that everyone should go if they're considering to tackle one of these routes.
Definitely. All right.
Well, all righty.
Think of anything else,
Chops? Good stuff.
No, that's we covered a lot.
Well,
gotta touch them all, man.
Yeah,
I've really enjoyed having you on. I'm grateful that you joined us, took some time with us.
I appreciate the invite, definitely, and I hope it inspires some people anyway to get a little more involved with the BDR. If that's just telling their friends about it or actually getting out there and riding it. I know you guys talk about it a lot on here, but can't tell people enough how much we want them to be out there riding the routes. And, you know, I mean, again, just on a personal note, just being out there and having fun. That's what life's all about. We only got one shot at it. So make the most of it.
Definitely.
Yeah. And when you stop in a town, make sure you tell them that you're riding the BDR. When you go into the store, stop at the gas station.
The great, great tip. Absolutely. You know, let people know that you're coming through on the BDR, and treat it like you're an ambassador, even though you may not be an official one. Everybody who rides these routes and downloads those tracks is kind of an extension of the BDR family. So it's important that people know that we're out there and that we're riding right, we're riding respectfully, and we're supporting the local communities along the way.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, because when you're riding the route, you're the BDR, your face is to somebody, whether you like it or not.
Right. So,
represent like good. It. Yeah, you should like it. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I usually don't tell them I'm part of the BDR at all.
No, we're happy to have you. I think I could speak for everybody. We're really appreciative of the contributions you make to the Utah Facebook group page. And I really appreciate you sharing all the social media stuff and sending it my way. And, help spread the word. That's a big part of, that's a continual challenge more and more in the media landscape, right? There's so much to choose from. So,
yeah.
Yes.
But you guys have the best thing to choose, in my opinion. So it's easy to share, but thank you. Thank you for noticing.
Be inclined to agree with you. Yeah.
I'm a little biased.
Awesome. Derek, thank you so much for joining us.
For sure. Appreciate you guys having me on, and look forward to seeing. I hope both of you guys on the trail at some point.
Definitely.
Yeah, I get out every now and then on the Northeast, even if it's just for a couple hours. I just head out. It's so close that I just go explore a different part of Section 3 because I'm right here on it. So
every time you go out, it's a different adventure. It doesn't matter if you've ridden it 100 times. You never quite know what to expect, other than beautiful views and a whole heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I'm hoping to share that with Cody next year, and hopefully the wife in the future.
Yep.
Yeah. Fingers make it happen, crossed. Cody.
We're gonna
get out there, man.
We're gonna make it happen, man. It will happen. New year, new me. No. And I may be calling you someday, because I've been wanting to see this little volcano that happened out in Washington once upon a time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. You should, Mount St. Helens. Yes, come on out.
It's on my little list as
volcano.
Well as,
yeah.
Well, I say it's little because I was 3 hours away and didn't go, and I'm bummed, but gives me a chance to go back. But anyway, 100%. It's great to get to know you. Appreciate your time. And everything you do for the BDR as well. So,
yes. And everything you do for us, the adventure rider. So,
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on. And yeah, it's been a real joy having the chance to chat with both of you guys. And just make sure everybody gets out there and goes to ridebdr.com to see the latest that we have going on.
So that was very nice of Derek to join us. Very informative. Got a lot of information for everybody about the BDRs. And
I really enjoyed that. Wonderful guest. Thank you, Derek.
But before we take off, we need to give a shout out to our sponsor.
Get to the chopper.
We're sponsored by Choppers?
Yeah, well, I got the Get to the Chopper t-shirt on.
Oh, yeah. I have the rated M.
Yes, you're wearing the, what do they call it, the shop shirt.
Yeah, that's where I belong. In the shop, hidden away from the public.
Yeah, don't have to wear your buff over your face.
The Guess buff what, model. Though? Lovely thing about radio is I'm wearing nothing else except this shop shirt.
Oh, we didn't need to know that. I'm going to have to cut that shit out.
Oh, boy.
No, but huge shout out to Motatomic for sponsoring the podcast.
Huge. Monday, rated M.
If you head on over to Motatomic.com and every dollar you spend over there helps support a new upcoming business, and it also helps support the podcast.
So, yeah, it helps support a broke-ass dude who's probably out of gas money on some trail in the middle of nowhere and doesn't even know where the hell he is.
Who that?
I think his name's Chappy or Cody. Which one do you think it is?
I don't know. We'll let the listeners chime in on that.
Yeah, on Discord.
Yeah, so if you head on over to Motatomic, they have two fall specials going on right now. They have a 40-liter drive bag and a baseball hat. It's gray. It's got the Rated M logo on it. I love that logo. And their second fall package is a gas can hoodie. Yes, gas can hoodie and a, what do they call it, Moto Beans beanie. Like, well, winter hat.
I told my wife last night, and I was dead serious. I still am. There's only one good thing about winter. I hate winter, if you didn't know. Only one good thing. Only one positive I can think of.
Hockey.
Nope. That I get to wear my gas can hoodie. That's the only thing I look forward to about winter at all.
So I wore mine this weekend.
I wore it last night.
I wore it out. I went out on the bike. I wore it. And it fits under your jacket.
Yes, it does. I did that last night on the way home from
and it does not. It does not give you that weird feeling of having the hood, you know, in the back.
Like the hunchback feeling?
Yeah. No, it was designed perfectly for the motorcyclist.
I like it even more now. I like it even more now because my wife said, you look kind of creepy with the hood on. I took that as a win.
As a positive?
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's probably not how it's meant, but whatever.
You're one funny guy. But yes. And if you head on over to Motatomic and put a bunch of stuff in your cart, you can also use the code THRODDLEDADV to save 20%.
Yes, and don't forget, after you get there and you put in your credit card information and use your discount, to attach my address to it so that it all ships to my house. Okay, don't do that. I'm just kidding. Ship it to Chappies. He'll ship it to me.
That will not happen.
Oh, it will not happen. Now, you're supporting an awesome company I don't get paid. Currently, I don't think. I don't know. We'll check the fine print. But to say that I love the gas can hoodie, I just do. And so does Chappie, because he hated hoodies before.
Yes.
You've heard this before. You listen to us. Anyway, if you don't have a gas can hoodie, you're missing one of your best friends. You don't even know it yet.
Yes. It's like putting on a warm hug.
It's like slipping into the cat house when you're an outlaw in the 1800s. Yes. Kapow, baby. I'll have a rated M, please. What are you drinking? I'll have a gas can hoodie, please.
What are you drinking?
Yeah, don't drink the gas can hoodie. I was thinking a hooch. I'm sorry. That's different.
Hooch. Oh, that's funny.
Now they call alcohol sometimes.
Moonshine, I think.
Oh, yeah. The moon was shining last night. I rolled my drink in it. With a Motatomic jersey on, by the way. Because he sells those too. With and Carlos having your back.
Yes. Yeah. So head on over to Motatomic. Use the discount code ThrottledADV and support a local business, a small upcomer. They have good quality stuff and it's all motorcycle inspired.
Let's not forget about Ben, the other Ben.
The other Ben?
Yes, the Moto
Camp Nerd.
Yeah, that guy. The one that said road when we asked the question. Yes.
Yeah. If you head over to motocampnerd.com, you can use the same discount code for 10% off.
Yep. Get yourself some gear.
Yes. He has all kinds of motorcycle themed camping gear.
Everything I thought I was obsessed with camping gear and stuff. This dude took it to a whole new level. You ought to check it out.
Yeah. So head on over to Motocamp Nerd and you can get some gear for your motorcycle so you can
get on, sit down and twist the thingy. The throttle thingy.
Twist the thingy.
Alrighty. So head on over to Discord. And if you're not in there already, jump on in.
If you're not in there, shame on you. Shame, shame, shame on you. Jeez. Think we do this for our health, people? Come on.
Cody is raring to go today.
I just had my third Red Bull. It is now 7:30 p.m. I should be ready to rock.
Yes. Just in time for bed.
How many episodes do you want to do tonight, Chappy?
This is actually episode 46. We are closing in 6 more until we're done with a full year's worth. And then a few little changes. If you're a member of Discord, as we were mentioning, you'll see some of that in there.
Yeah.
So.
And you said pigs can't fly, but look, almost to a year.
Woo! Woo! Thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed this. It was very informative. We got a lot of inside information on the BDR. And like to thank Derek again for joining us. And
yes, thank you, Derek. And by the way, Derek sent me a private message that said, tell Chappie you need a raise. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I misread that. That was from myself. Sorry. Didn't mean to put that on you, Derek. No, you were an awesome guest. And I learned a lot, too. I'm going to listen to jazz. How about you, Chappie?
Yeah, I haven't, but I think I might try that.
So get into Discord and brap into the next episode. Just put that stuff on constant repeat, people, and share it with your families, friends, enemies, and everybody. Bam!